This morning. I'm going to try to get through this, guys, but I do have my Kleenexes just in case, okay? Haley and all the guys that, you know, did the offering, Chelsea, Caitlin, who's doing our photography today, they've all been, an integral part of Awana's. They've all earned their own citation award. And they all agreed to be, one more time, coerced by Martha into participating in church. I love them all. Other people have gone before me preparing kids in the Awana program. If you've ever had a part in leading any part of Awana, would y'all please stand up, please, please, please? Give them a hand, please. Thank you. Yes. All right. Today I also want to introduce Melanie Grigsby. Can you come up, please? Mel, well, Cottonwood started Awana's back in 1995. I came on board about a year later. And immediately, I jumped into Awana. But this lady here, she was part of Cottonwood back then. And she just roped me really good into the program. Yes, she did. You can do this. You can be a leader. You can be a director. You can do the games. You can do everything.
Was I right?
Yeah, well, I don't know, Mel, but she is my dearest friend in Awana. She is now the...
I'm the Awana missionary for the western half of Texas and the Texas Panhandle.
So she went on above and beyond. Okay. She's going to be helping me here hand out the awards. But first of all, I wanted to just say... the last verse that High School Awana learned last week is in Colossians 4, 5, and 6. And it says, let me get over here with the kids. Be wise in the way you act towards others. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. And what, Caleb? Seasoned with salt. So that you may know how to answer everyone. So let that be a charge that you would be able to go and just face anything and everything seasoned with salt, full of grace. You have the answers. This group here has lived life here at Cottonwood, as Pastor Mike said, ever since they were born, except for Meta. Meta came a little bit older. But I know... that I saw your mamas pregnant with you the first time they brought y'all to church, baby dedications, your profession of faith, your baptisms, and now we get to do this, Awana citation. From Cubbies to Sparkies, TNT, Junior High Trek, High School Journey. It's 15 years, guys, that y'all have been doing learning verses, memorizing, playing games. And then the famous TNT years where we did Bible quizzes and Awana games competition. Let me just say that I dragged them there. I coerced them. I bribed them to participate. And we had some good times. We won some championships. It's all good. And even though at that time they're like, do we have to, Miss Martha? Yes, you do. You have fond memories of it, and you'll never forget those days. So, I'm going to introduce you this morning, guys, the citation earners. And I had to decide how I was going to do this. Was I going to go from, was I just going to play favorites and make my daughter the first one? Mm-hmm. Or... was I going to go girls first and then guys? Or was I going to go prettiest to, well, you get the idea. Anyway, I just decided to go alphabetical. And it ends up Donna is first. So Donna Aranda. Meta Bo. Caleb Hooper. That's like. Meta, will you switch with Donna? Donna, come over here, baby. Blake Steven. Brent Steven. in those Awana games, Donna and Meta were a force to be reckoned with in the four-way tug. They rocked it. Caleb was the master, the beast at the beanbag toss. You were. You don't remember, but you were. You were. And the twins, of course, even though they hated it, they mastered, conquered records, broke records, and conquered everything on the three-legged race. So I'm going to address each one. And I got my notes, guys, just to make it fast and easier and I don't forget and wander off. Anyway, Donna, my precious daughter and sister in Christ. Don't cry, you're going to make me cry. We did it, baby girl, we did it. From the first day in cubbies with your chubby cheeks and your long golden hair until today. What a journey. Whew. It has been a blessing helping you memorize your first verses and persevering through this last high school year. Watching you learn the word, understand the word, live the word, own it, make it yours. It's real to you. And as you continue life's journey, may your foundation be ever true. I tried to keep from being Donna's leader as long as I could. I wanted other people to sow into her life, and y'all did. And we appreciate each and every one of y'all that had a part in Donna. Donna's a wanna trick. But it has been a privilege to be your leader these past 4 years. Thank you, sweetheart, for hanging in there with me. Sometimes laughing, sometimes not laughing, but always on the same page, ever forward. So Donna, today I get to present to you your last Awana Award. You want to go down that way, baby girl? Thank you. Meta, my beautiful Meta, you have grown up with us close at home, and you've also grown up with us when you were far away from home. Even as your family would start the Awana year with us and then move to South Africa, where your dad's job took you for several years, you still persevered and you excelled in your Christian walk. You still managed to memorize verses, complete your Awana books, mature in your faith. I love the fact of how much you invested of your life into others while you were in Africa and China, helping prepare for lunches for hundreds of kids, serving at the orphanage, hosting teams that went to South Africa, serving with unconditional love. You came back to us a mature and steadfast young lady. Your faith is grounded, and you have continued to allow the Lord to direct your path. So, Meta, today, I humbly present your last Awana Award.
Uh-oh.
You ready? That's the topic with Kayla, right? Caleb. Oh, Caleb, I love you. This rambunctious young one. Yep. Caleb, where to start with you, dude? Okay, if this is the last thing you ever listen to me tell you, okay, just make up your mind and do it, okay? Whatever, right, Shelly? Where are you, Shells? Yes. Once Caleb makes up his mind, it's a done deal. It's the journey of making up the mind part. So just do it, okay? All right, okay. In the Awana Games, we have a race for 5th and 6th grade boys that involves running 6 laps. You might not think 6 laps is a lot, but if you're out there doing it as a 6th grader, 5th grader, it's difficult, okay? Now, Caleb has waited patiently for his sixth grade year to do this race. And when we go to competitions, it's usually we do several rounds of 10 games. So we did 10 games, 10 games, 10 games to get to the championship level. But anyway, the first time Caleb ran it, he didn't get it, okay? And he was so put out with himself. He was so bummed. Second time, his time comes up. Second time, he does not get first place. He's bummed. He finally makes up his mind, guys, and in the championship round, his legs were so skinny, guys. His little skinny legs are just a-churning. I mean, they were going, and he was moving, and he got his first place sixth lap on the championship round. Barely, but we did it. Even his mama, who likes to stand on the sidelines, even his mama ran into the square and just high-fived him and hugged him. And I was just like, yes, we accomplished it. The other thing he has accomplished is he was a little bit behind on his books this year. I'm not going to tell you how much. He was a little bit behind on his books. And if you've ever sat with Caleb and listened to some of his verses, he's the best paraphraser there is out there. So, needless to say, there was times when I would sit there and I'd go, Caleb, tell me what this verse means. And then we'd go through what the verse means. And I don't care how bad he paraphrased and how bad he chopped it up. As long as he knows what that verse means, that's what's important. Okay? So, as long as you make up your mind, you'll do it. So just do it, okay? All right. Caleb, I gladly present this last one award to you. All right. Here's the challenge, guys. I've known these kids since before they were born. No, after they were born. I've known them their whole lives, okay, guys? And I'm glad when they started wearing different shirts and stuff. But even then, I still can't tell them apart. Just because they're in alphabetical order right now is how I can tell them apart, guys, okay? I don't know if that's just me, but I know that probably some of y'all have the same difficulty as I do of telling them apart. But anyway, Blake and Brent. All right. Blake and Brent, I'm going to do this together with y'all, okay? I know y'all like to be, you know, distinguished from each other, but I'm just going to throw everything in together for y'all. These guys amaze me. They are awesome. I've known them, been around them, taught them, hounded them their whole lives. And I still have times when I can't tell them apart. These guys aren't very vocal in my class. Okay, now I've heard stories about them being very vocal other places, but in my class, it was hard to get anything out of them. Many times I'd ask them point blank questions, and invariably I'd get the same answer from either one of them or together. And what would be that answer?
I don't know.
I don't know. Now, these guys are super intelligent, okay? Super intelligent. I mean, they're way past my intelligence level. And so for them to tell me,
I don't know,
is like, no, that's not acceptable, not acceptable. I made a rule in my class. What is the rule?
You can't say I don't know, but you can say I'm not sure yet.
Yes. You can't say I don't know yet. I don't know. You have to say, I'm not sure yet. Let me think about it. I'll get back to you. Hold that thought, something other than I don't know. The guys learned to talk, and this last year has been awesome. We've had some good discussions in our group. They actually will voice their opinions, their thoughts, their beliefs, and it's awesome. It's all coming from within, the foundations that have been planted, the seeds that are there. So, my little brothers, tall brothers, Blake and Brent, I present to you your last Awana Award. Thank you, Melanie.
Can I have your parents to come on up? Can y'all come on up? Just stand with your kids. Yeah. One of the great privileges of a long pastorate, and I was just thinking this in just a really interesting way. You know, you have photo albums of your kids growing up. In church life, with a long pastorate, we have albums of our kids together growing up. And it's such a blessing. And I commend just the parents who have worked so hard in years past. And I commend you who have worked in the house and in the square on Wednesday nights, helping them get to the places they need to be. Every day as your pastor, I get up, and if I'm going to meet with you or if I'm going to do something, I'm thinking, how can I love you to the places God wants you to be and where God wants us to be? And you who have worked on the square, you who have worked in the house, have helped these and others get to the places. You've loved them to the places God wants them to be. Can you imagine 1,200 verses, 1,500 verses in their heart? It's awesome. And I'm so grateful for families. Because I just can tell you, strong families make strong churches. This is a strong church because of the families. And I know you've come distance. I know just week after week, month after month, year after year, you've got to make a haul here because this isn't an on-the-way place. It's just not along the way. And I'm just so grateful for your commitment to the kingdom of God, to your family, and to your church. Your faithfulness has blessed this pastor. Now, I've known four of you all your life, and I've known one of you most of your life, and it's a pleasure, and I just am grateful. And when I want to say the church, I'm going to bless you for being a part, but I'm just going to tell you, sometimes the square needs you. Sometimes the house needs you to speak into our kids' lives. I want to invite you to that. I mean, I'm just going to do a plug for S4. I mean, there's a sheet out there that you can go and volunteer a Sunday to speak into our kids' lives. Those of you who are former citation winners and you're in the area, get back to the square and speak into these kids' lives. I want to just say two verses of scripture. The first is Isaiah 55:10. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter of which I sent it. Every word that you have memorized from scripture, God has promised will never return void. Another scripture says that this word is eternal. The grass fades, the flower falls, but the word of God abides forever. And there's two things about that abide forever. You and God's word. And this word you've hidden in your heart. The second scripture is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Because I know as a pastor, and I know as someone growing up loving the word, that you can know the word and not do the word. You can know all there is about scripture the best that you can and have 1,500 verses in you and still seasons of your life not do the word. My challenge to you, it's from the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 7, to be wise sons and daughters, men and women, who not only hear the word, but do the word. In your life, in your future marriage, as future parents, as future folks in the church, to hear the word and to do the word. Because the Bible says when you do that, you'll build your life on the rock. So that, and the rock is Jesus. So that when the rains come and the winds blow against that house, you will not fall. You will not perish because your life has been founded upon the rock. I want to bless you and I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these parents. I thank you for their lives, how they've invested in their sons and their daughters. And I want to ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit would continue to lead them as they speak into their children's lives. I want to ask, Lord, that you would grow them strong in faith. Because, Father, we really never, ever, ever quit parenting. We never, ever quit leading our children. And I just want to ask, Lord, that in these days ahead, that as this accomplishment has been made, that, Father, that we just thank you, the parents. And we thank you, Lord, for them. I thank you for these sons and these daughters on this stage, on this platform. And, Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would rest upon them and that at every turn, the word that they've hidden in their heart would come, Father, from their heart out of their mouth. And they would love that word, and they would study that word, and they would sing that word and pray that word. But more important, they would live that word. And I ask in Jesus' name that, Father, that the word truly would never return void, but accomplish what you desire in their lives. Lord, I bless you for these families. I bless you for our church who loves families and children. And I speak blessing upon them today. And I say, as I often say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance and give you peace forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Another clap offering for these. To who?
This is, I have to say something. Okay. This is for Miss Martha, and we love Miss Martha. And Miss Martha has been with us for a long time through games when they were little, up through high school. And high school Awana sometimes it's hard to keep going in high school. And Miss Martha won't let you stop very easily. She stays after you. And so we're thankful that she stayed after our kids and kept them coming and kept pushing them through. So we're really grateful. You've left a legacy, and we are so grateful. And we love you. Yeah.
All right. Y'all can have a seat. Daniel?
The ceremony for the Citation Award. I've been here before, partly because of my high school Awana teacher, Ann Moyer. She was very patient with me, even in that one time when I fell asleep. Now, for the most part, I was a pretty good student, but there were times when I needed help, and Ann knew it. But that is what made her a good teacher. She pushed me to get through it and helped me dig deeper. So 5 years ago, I achieved and then received the Citation Award, but when I left the program, I left with something so much more, because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I kept that weapon stored inside my mind's core. Now, don't get me wrong, there were times when I'd memorize and it would feel mundane and useless, but when I needed it, God brought it to my brain and helped me use it. So church, memorizing the Word of God is not a waste of time. There's something so valuable about having the sword of the Lord stored inside. And I know sometimes it's even a grind to read the Bible, much less store it in your mind, but I promise it is worth your time. Now to you citation winners, don't forget the scriptures. Eat them every day like they're dinner. Don't neglect this. Eat them every morning like breakfast. Wrap them around your neck like a necklace, because the Word of God is precious. And believe me, it is easy to run off and live reckless, but I promise you will regret this. So don't forget the scriptures. Don't neglect this. Now, if I could sum up my personal Awana experience in one word, it would be this: influence. God used the Awana program to mold me into who I am today. He used it to set his word on full display. He used it to convey the path to life and how to live the right way. It is useful for rebuking me when I act stupidly. It teaches and trains me. It leads and sustains me. God used the scriptures in the program to help shape me. I was also influenced heavily by those that led me. All of my teachers, from Sparky's till the end, God used in my life to lead me to him. They guided me and walked beside me. They were my mentors and my friends. So, shout out to Susie Viss, my Sparky's teacher. Shout out to Scott Hooper, my TNT leader. Shout out to Connie, Martha, and Miss Ann for leading and guiding and offering your hand. Thank you for helping me understand. Now, I know I was a bit of a spaz and I had trouble paying attention, but I want to thank you guys for being patient, even when I wouldn't listen. I want to thank you all for leading me on this endeavor because God used you guys to change my life forever.
Well, I get the privilege. Let's see. I'd made some commitments that I would be done 5 minutes ago.
Oops.
So I'm going to talk backwards in reverse time. Actually, I have 4 pages of notes, and I'm going to condense it down into one. Greg, do not worry about any of my PowerPoint. I'm going to ask Mike if he can let me actually teach through what I was going to teach through today. But I want to say, in closing, never heard somebody from the pulpit say that, have you, at the beginning? Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has, well, anyway. Hearing by the word of God. You know, and I think that when we hear that, you know, the context here, and especially the context of what we've been talking about, is there's this thing that God wants to pour within us. He wants to develop this thing called faith. And the interesting thing about faith, and I won't be able to rhyme and to go and to flow the way Daniel does. I don't know how he does that. That was awesome, man. But the interesting thing that God does is he's created this thing called faith. And one thing that is absolutely for certain, no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, you're going to live out 100% of what you believe about God. Every ounce of what you believe about God, you're going to live out. And if you really stop to think, you may not have ever thought about it that way, but if you really stop to think about that, it's true. If you've had a professor that absolutely rejects the notion of God, that teaching is going to reflect that. If you have a teacher that loves the Lord, and you grow up in a classroom, public school, private school, homeschool, whatever, guess what? That's going to be reflected as well. In your occupation, what you believe about God sets the course of your life. You will live out every single ounce of that. Citation Award winners, what would happen if you lived, because you will, but what would happen if you lived out every ounce of those 1,200 to 1,500 verses? Huh. Everybody in here would be like, yeah, good job. You do it. Do it, kids. Yeah, yeah. The rest of you, what would happen if you actually lived out one or two of the verses that you know? What if you lived out the word of God? What if the hearing that you have received from the word of God, you actually chose to live out? What kind of changes could be made? Today, my topic was really going to be on fear and how fear cripples us from filling the absolute deepest longings in our heart. And I won't be able to go into all of that. But when you think about the things that you're faced with, what would happen if you actually believed that what God says about himself is true? What if, And the only notes that I put out there in the notes for today, there's a little sheet that we actually have in our prayer room. We have out here in our prayer resources, and I encourage you to take it with you. Because what would happen right now if you actually believed what God says about himself, that he is provider? If you're having some difficulty in finances or there's just some provision issues, what would happen if you chose to fully believe that God is going to provide? Because that's his character and nature, and he can't depart from that. What would happen if you decided that you were going to believe that he is peace? Peace isn't just an absence of chaos. Peace is a power of God that surpasses all understanding, that will actually guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus in the midst of all the other stuff that's going on, and you just can't handle it anymore. And then all of a sudden you just believed. You know what, God? You're peace. What would change in your life if you just believe that? My challenge today to you, five, and a bigger challenge to all the rest of us, I'm not going to say you because it's me, is that it's time we're living out every ounce of what we believe about God. Let's begin to live out everything we understand about God and live it out by faith. Faith comes from hearing. Get into the Word. Memorize Scripture. One or two verses. And live it out. That's really your challenge today. Mike, will you give me an opportunity to preach again sometime?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, guess what? It's 12 o'clock. I'm done. Let's pray. And then Mike is going to close us out. Okay. Quickly. God, thank you so much for your word. And I want to thank you for these students that have come to be honored for their things that they've done with the Word, the way that they have memorized and the way that they have really are incorporating it into their life even now. Because these aren't students that are just putting stuff in their head. Lord, their lifestyle right now, the way they live their life right now proves that they're living out the things that they believe about you. And thank you for that. I pray, God, that you would help us be a people that aren't just hearers of the word, but doers of it. And we thank you, Father, for your word, the power of it. We thank you, Lord, that your word is transforming. We thank you, Lord, that your word is living and it's powerful. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is absolutely the most important thing that we can put into our brains and into our very souls. May we live out the truth to the rest of the world. When we go to work tomorrow, may the people that we come in contact with see the truth of what we believe about you. And God, if we have areas in our life that we're not really living it out, we're not really believing, would you help us in our unbelief? Because Lord, we want to be a people that honors you, not just with our lips, not just comes on Sunday. What a stench if all we do is we come and we put on the show, but we go and we live a life that is like the rest of the world. But may we be a people that go and be light. May we be a people that go and shine in darkness. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
And I want to ask that you stay in a spirit of prayer. So would you just bow with me? I want to ask the question, what have you seen today? What have you seen and what have you heard? And how will you live? This morning, I saw us pray for two young women, a high school senior, a college student who is heading off to China, who has said yes to the Lord. Today, I have seen a church worship. Today, I've seen a church give. Today, I've seen five students who have put, with the help of parents and a church, 1,200 to 1,500 scriptures in their heart. I've seen, I've heard names of men and women who have vested in our children. I have seen and I've heard of people who continue to say yes to what God has asked them to do. And here is the question. Are you saying yes right now, right here, to the things that God has asked of you? Yes to from the house to the nations. Let me ask you a question in this next season of your life. Where does your name need to be? Where does it need to be where you're signing up with a yes to what God's asking? Does your name belong in that house, holding babies, praying for babies, speaking into four-year-olds, cubbies? Is your name on the square? Is it in the youth? Is it in a Sunday school class? Is it in a home fellowship? Is it just a discipleship for one-on-one? Where does your yes belong in these days? It's a great question. Because every one of us know when we say yes to God, it's nothing but a blessing. It's a blessing for our heart. It's a blessing for our family. It's a blessing for our church. And it's a blessing for the world. And my challenge to us today is that we go from this place just saying yes. And then I have to ask, what is the last thing God has asked you to do that you've not said yes to? My prayer is that you will run to go do the last thing God has asked you to do. A people who say yes. Father, I thank you for what we've seen and what we've heard today. I pray, God, that we would be challenged, that we would be motivated, that we would be lifted up. I pray, God, that you would be exalted. As we go from this place, longing to hear from you, longing to say yes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good morning, right? Amen. A couple of things. Does Sarah ever make it? She's out there. Will you get her and Alexis? Alexis, where are you? They're out there. What are they doing out there? Oh, they're serving. Good. Good. All right. Yeah, you didn't get to meet Sarah earlier, so I'm going to have them stand up here, and you come greet them. And then I'm going to dismiss you guys. Y'all go to your tables? Will y'all go to your tables? Okay, so we're going to have cake, fellowship, and punch. But your first thing is you're going to come here and say hi to them and just bless them as they go on their trip and their journey. Also, it's good to have Marianne Grimsley's folks here. Family. And Marianne passed this week, and today is her funeral at 2, her memorial service. We're going to have a meal for them right after, and we'll gather back to have a really powerful word about her life and the influence that she had in their lives, but also the influence she's had in this church, because she has served in China, and she has served in Mexico, and has served our women, and has served our kids, for the 19 years that her and Charles have been a part of our body. And so just really appreciate your mom, grandmother, and the blessing that she's been to us. And so we'll be celebrating her life here at 2 o'clock and encourage you to come on back. So let's stand together and let me bless you again, okay? Come see these gals, fellowship with us. Yeah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. forever and ever. Right now, right here, may he bless your going out and your coming in. May he bless the words that you speak from God. May he bless the words he speaks to you. And may, at the end of next week, may you look back and see the peace of God has been all over us. Amen. Amen. Come see these gals.